This is the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.
Hey, I'm Craig Rochelle, and really thrilled to have you back for another episode of the Leadership Podcast. Thank you so much for being a part of our leadership community. If you're new with us, we release a teaching every single first Thursday of the month. And what we're going to do in this episode is we're going to talk about part one of how do we sharpen our communication skills. You may say, I'm a leader, but not a communicator. And the reality is all leaders are communicators. So today we're going to talk about part one about how we get better as communicators. I love hearing from you. If you want to send in any questions, comments, ideas, thoughts, suggestions, send them to me at leadership@life.church. I also want to say thank you to those of you who are sharing on social media. Thank you for writing reviews and rating this. Also, if you want the show notes, all the notes of what we cover, they're available at life.church/leadership podcast. You can actually give us your email and we'll email you the notes every single month, even before the teaching comes out. So before we dive into the teaching, what I want to do is answer a couple of your questions as I try to do each month, and then we'll do a short teaching. Your time is valuable, so I'll try to honor it. Let's dive in. A couple of great questions. Lance wrote this. He said, a leadership style I enjoy but candidly struggle with is servant leadership. He said, I think many folks confuse it with appearing to be somewhat like passive leadership, but I believe it aligns much more closely with empowering leadership. It seems to be a delicate walk. What are your thoughts? Lance, great question. And I absolutely and completely agree with you that when you think about it, in years past, leadership was more authoritarian. In other words, I'm the boss, you do what I tell you to do. If you're a leader, you generally exercise power from top down. I'm the leader, so do this. A servant leader has a totally and completely different mindset. A servant leader cares about the needs of people and puts their needs at the front of his or her mind. And so as a servant leader, rather than protecting our power as a leader, our goal is to empower others. We're not just leading followers, but we're leading leaders. As a servant leader, we're just not leading followers, we are empowering and leading leaders. And some people may disagree with me, but here's kind of how I would rank what people might think of the leader. The lowest level would be your team hates you. A step up would be your team fears you. A step up would be your team likes you. Another step up would be your team loves you. Another step up, if you're a servant leader, your team will trust and respect you. What we want to do is we want to serve others so they'll trust and respect. The highest compliment to a leader would be, you've served me, I trust and respect you. To be trusted and respected, you have to care about people. A servant leader leads boldly, but always from the heart. Great question. Let's deal with another one. Holly asked this. I love this question. Holly wanted to know, how do you get your volunteers to think less like volunteers and more like owners? I want my volunteer leaders to take ownership of their positions and their team of volunteers. Fantastic question. And this doesn't just apply to volunteers. This would apply to all of our team members. Here's what a lot of people will say. If you're the leader, you might look at your volunteers or the people on your team and say, they don't care like I care. They don't see what I see. They don't think like I think. They don't care like I care. They don't think like I think. They don't see the way I see. Caring really matters. What someone cares about determines what they can be trusted with. What they care about determines what they can be trusted with. Therefore, we want to help empower our volunteers or our team members to care about the things that we care about. We want them to think like owners, not like employees. For example, I went to a store one time. I was trying to make a purchase for a lot of people. I got there at 10 minutes to 5 p.m. The store said it closes at 5. And the lady there was closing up the store. And I said, can I please come in? She said, no, it's closed. I'm like, it's 10 minutes early. And she said, no, I'm closing now. And I asked her, I said, are you the owner? Knowing full well, she would say, no, she wasn't, because she had the mindset of an employee, not an owner. We want to empower our people to think like owners. In the book called Turn the Ship Around, the author uses this phrase, and I love this. He wanted to train those on his ship to say the words, I intend to. I intend to. What we want those who, your volunteers or your key leaders, we want them to come to you and say, I intend to do such and such. And what that does is you're training them to be active in their thinking. I intend to, I plan on, I will, we will. These are empowering statements. And what we want to do is we want to teach initiative. And then what we want to do is get the people who are volunteering or serving with you to anticipate what questions you will ask. When they come in and they say, I intend to start a new initiative, I intend to start a new ministry, I intend to recruit new volunteers, then we want them to think about, what am I going to ask you when you tell me I intend to? And what we're doing is we are teaching them to anticipate their forming ownership. Now they're not followers, they're thinking like a leader. We're giving them ownership. This is so important. Volunteers will never think like owners unless we give them ownership. Your employees will never think like owners unless we give them ownership. Great questions. Let's dive into the teaching for today. This is part one of two parts. We're talking about sharpening your communication skills. You might say, well, I'm not a public speaker. If you are a leader, you better be working on your speaking skills. The first thing we need to recognize is most of us are not nearly as good as we think we are. Just watch a video of yourself sometime and you're gonna recognize, oh my gosh, I'm not that good. I do this all the time and it's incredibly humbling. Sometimes I'll ask someone who spoke, I'll say, how did it go? And that person will say, well, I really liked it. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter how we feel about our speaking. The question is, was it effective? Well, how'd you do? Well, I liked it. I don't care if you liked it or not. Are we effective as communicators? George Bernard Shaw says this. I love this quote. He says, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Let me say it again. He said, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that has taken place. Three thoughts, if you're jotting this down. I always tell myself this. Just because you say something doesn't mean they heard it, believe it, or will do it. I tell our communicators all the time, just because you said it does not mean that they heard it, believe it, or will do it. You can say it all day long, but that doesn't mean you're effective in communication. How you say it matters. Just because you said it doesn't mean they heard it, believe it, or will do it. So when communicating, one of the first rules of effective communication is this. We must never, ever be me-centered. We're always you-centered in communication. Let me say it again. We are not me-centered. We are you-centered in communication. Why is this? Because people are not thinking about me. They're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. It's not a bad thing. It's just a thing. Let me give you some examples. For illustration, at our church, we have something that's called Open Door. It's a place for new people to come and to find out how they can use their gifts, get involved in the church. So let me give you kind of two invitations. The first one is going to be a me-centered or a we-centered or an us-centered invitation. The second one is a you-centered one. So the first one is me-centered. I might say, hey, everybody, I'd love to invite you to come to Open Door to find out about our church. We want you to know about our history, what we believe, how you can help us do what we're called to do. Okay, that's a me-centered way of inviting them. Now, in communication, here's basically saying the same thing, but from a you-centered point of view. We might say, hey, what I want you to know is you matter to us. Would you consider joining us at a thing we call Open Door? Why? Because we want to get to know you. We want to hear your story. You might have questions or you have ideas. We would love to help you get plugged in so you can make a difference, okay? Essentially, the same announcement, but from two totally different perspectives. The most effective communicators are not going to be me-centered. We're going to be you-centered in communication. Now, you may not be announcing something at a church. You may be running a meeting. You may be pitching some kind of idea at your office or whatever. When people roll into the meeting or when they roll into your planning session, let me tell you what they might be thinking about. They might be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm late. I hope I'm not in trouble. They might be thinking, how in the world am I going to get one kid to soccer and another kid to dance tonight? They might be thinking, I'm really mad because my husband didn't say goodbye to me this morning. They might be thinking, I hope my boss, that means you, doesn't have some stupid idea that's going to burn out in 2 weeks. In other words, what they're doing is they're thinking about themselves. If someone walks into my church this weekend, They might be thinking, I hope the cute girl is greeting at the door. I can't wait for the donuts. I'm stoked to see two friends from work, or I'm really nervous because this is my first time and I don't know what I'm gonna think at church. In other words, they're thinking about themselves. What we need to do is grab their attention. We'll talk more about how to do that in next month's podcast, but all the time, because they're thinking about themselves, the most effective communicators will be you-centered in communicating. Now, before you communicate anything, you're gonna wanna answer these three questions. Crazy important, never forget this. Before you communicate anything, you wanna answer these three questions. Number one, what do I want people to know? Number two, what do I want them to feel? Number three, what do I want them to do? What do I want them to know, feel, and do? Again, it may seem obvious, this is what I want them to know, but you have to start there and be very clear on exactly what you want them to know. Then that's where most people stop. You don't just want them to know something, but you want them to feel something. Why? Because emotion moves people to action. What do you want them to feel? You may want them to feel motivated. You may want them to feel challenged. You may want them to feel hopeful. You may want them to feel kind of righteously angry. But the emotion is what's gonna move them to action. So not just what do I want them to know, but also what do I want them to feel? And then what is the when? What do I want them to do? And this is really important. If you can't define it, they won't do it. If you can't define it, they won't do it. So we're not just making an announcement. We're leading people to a desired outcome. We're not just leading a meeting. We're moving people toward a specific focus. What do I want them to know? What do I want them to feel? What do I want them to do? We're never just communicating. We're always leading. We're always leading. We're always leading. Great leaders are great communicators. Great communicators are great leaders. We never just communicate. We're always leading. Let's review and then deal with some questions. George Bernard Shaw said this, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Just because you said it doesn't mean they heard it, believe it, or will do it. So when we communicate, we start with the listener in mind. We're always you-centered in our communication, never me-centered in communication. And before we communicate anything, we're gonna ask, what do I want them to know? What do I want them to feel? What do I want them to do? Because if we can't define it, they'll never, ever do it. We're never just talking, we're always leading. Three application questions. Number one, what is the number one thing you need to communicate to your team during this season? Super important. All the time, there's something on the front of my mind, the top of my heart, that I'm communicating to our team. What is the number one thing you need to communicate to your team? It might be that they really matter. It might be, here's what's coming up. It might be, here's what's working on. Whatever it is, what is the number one thing? Question two, how can you become more you-centered in your communication? Think about it all the time. Everything you say, how can you be more you-centered in your communication? Number three, what do you want them to know? What do you want them to feel? What do you want them to do? If you want the notes, they're available for you at life.church/leadership podcast. Next month, we're gonna get crazy, crazy practical. In fact, you may wanna watch next month because I'll demonstrate a lot. Remember, in communicating, in leading, in whatever you do, be yourself. Why? Because people would rather follow a leader who's always real than one who's always right.
Thanks for joining us on the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast. If you would like access to episode resources, just go to www.life.church/leadership podcast. There you'll find show notes and so much more. Our next new episode will be available on Thursday, December 1st, so be sure to subscribe. That way it can come directly to your device. We really hope you're enjoying the show, and if you are, please rate and review us on iTunes and help us spread the word. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on the Craig Rochelle Leadership Podcast.